Our scripture reading for this evening is from the book of Daniel, chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 12 through to 28. Daniel 6, verse 12, "Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And the king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altered not." Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went into his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, in whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceeding glad of him for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast for ever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus and the Persian.
Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, We would like to share with you the word out of Daniel 6, the portion of scripture that we read. And the focus will be on the midst of verse 22. So let me read that. Daniel 6, verse 22, the midst part. He has shut the lion's mouth that they have not heard me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me. So far. Tonight is about Daniel in the lion's den. And we see hatred. We see unease. And we see peace. So Daniel in the lion's den. We see hatred. Hatred that is with the enemies. Hatred that is with the world. We see unease. Unease to the king. Unease to the seeming work. The work of the Lord, at least it seems the work of the Lord. That's with the king. And we see peace for Daniel. Peace for God's people. So Daniel in the lion's den, hatred, unease, and peace. So last Sunday, we talked about the first chapter of Daniel. Then Daniel was a young boy of about 15 years, 16 years. Now it's decades later. What happened with that empire of Babylon? It has fallen. It does not exist anymore. Because we read here there's a new king. A king from the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians. Another empire that overtook the empire of Babylon. And King Darius, he's the king of this empire. And to reign this huge empire, he puts in place 120 princes, we read in the beginning of the chapter, has set over the kingdom, and 120 princes, 120 governors that should reign for him. They all get a portion of that huge empire. But he also set above these 120 princes three presidents, of which Daniel, because his work looks the best, he had in mind to put him as the first of those three. So he had in mind to make Daniel, let's say, the prime minister of this huge empire of the Medes and the Persians. 120 princes, three presidents, of which Daniel was the first. And why had he in mind to make Daniel the first? There was only one reason. Daniel, he was always very honest. Darius was looking for people that could give him account, so that the king should have no damage. That's what in verse 2. Well, Daniel, he was excellent. He did not do the king damage. He was so just. He was so righteous. He was so precise. He was so honest. That is how we all should live in this world. So honest. Not live for ourselves, but do our duty. But for those 120 princes and the other two presidents, that was not an easy life. Why not? Because they were not honest. They tried to enrich themselves. They were liars. And when there were some things happening, they always turned and tweaked it around to their advantage. And the king's business, it was on the second place, was not so important to them. Now we can understand that if those people should give account to Daniel, who was always so right and just and honest, they didn't like it. Oh, is that man, you cannot work. He's too honest. It always has to be very precise, and sometimes when it's in our advantage, we cannot do it. We don't like him. We want to get rid of him. Also, that happens nowadays. Yes, we have to do our work honestly. But how often? That's not liked by our colleagues, by our customers. When they come with questions, oh, can you arrange this for me? Can you do that for me? Not honest, but maybe you can do it. Daniel, he was very strict in that, very straightforward. There was no single occasion, no single one, where he was not honest. They could find not any occasion, even if they were looking for that, because they were looking for an occasion to have Daniel make an error, to have Daniel make a mistake, to have Daniel do something against the law of the king. They could not find any. Except maybe in the law of his God. And they built a plan. Either we can make him fall in the laws of his God. If he's not honest there, we can let him fall. Or if he is honest in those laws of his God, then we must so turn it around that honesty in the laws of his God is against the laws of the king. That's their cunning plan. Oh, it's a cunning plan that is always in disadvantage of Daniel. And they build that plan. And they go to King Darius. Oh, King Darius, oh, thou art so great. Thou art such a beautiful and a good king. We all love thee so much. We all do. And that's why we created a petition. A petition that in 30 days only requests to thou can be made. Not to any other king. Not to any other person. Not to any other god. O Darius, he got this petition to sign. And you feel how it went. O Darius, he was so proud of himself. Oh, he felt like he was almost a god. And how the people came to him. They really would like to make him a kind of a god. And Darius, because of his haughtiness, he was trapped. His haughty heart did not understand what those men were doing. His haughty heart wanted to be as God, as the prime God even. To no one else a question could be made except to him. No requests except to this highest king. Oh, that was Darius. But it's also all of us. What's in our heart? We also wanted to be as God. That was what Adam and Eve already wanted. They didn't want to listen always to the creator of heaven and earth. No, they want to create their own laws. They want to do what was in their heart. The same for Darius. The same for all of us. We do not want to listen to God. We want to do what our own heart gives us to do. Darius, he was trapped. But it was not because of Darius' honor. It was not because of him. No, the only reason was to use him. Because they hated, the world hated Daniel. The God-fearing Daniel that was honest in all his doings. And so the petition was signed, that law of the Medes and the Persians that could not be altered. It was signed by the king. It was signed by all those princes and those two presidents, by the governors, by many, many people. They all hated Daniel. They all didn't like to be that honest. They all wanted to change all the things to their advantage. It was signed. And then Daniel, he got to know it. He heard that this petition was signed, that this law of the Medes and the Persians was signed. So Daniel, what now are you going to do? Well, Daniel, we can read in verse 11, 12 and 13, he went into his house. And what did he do at his house? He prayed. He prayed not to the king, but he prayed to the King of Kings. Oh, Daniel, how can you do that? And Daniel, why do you not close the windows? We have not read it tonight. But children, you know the story, right? Daniel went home and he had a chamber with open windows towards Jerusalem. And he did not close the windows. No, he went there as he did before. Three times a day, he was bending his knees and he was praying to the Lord of Israel, to his Lord. Oh, he needed his Lord. He could not live without him. And now the petition was signed. Well, Daniel, but you can close the windows and still pray to your God. You can do it silently, so the enemies cannot see it. What would you do? What would you do if this comes to you, this trial? Wouldn't we close the windows? Wouldn't we do it silently? Wouldn't we be very aware of those enemies? Daniel did not. Why not? Oh, in the first place, Daniel knew it was about the honor of God. It was the Lord who strengthened him every day. And it was shown to those people that Daniel could not do his work without the dependence of the Lord. Then should he now do it hidden? No, he continued to do it openly. It was to the honor of God. But also, if Daniel would have closed the windows and he would have prayed silently, what would have those enemies said? Now, Daniel, you see, when it is in your advantage, you will change the laws. You will change the law that you always, three times a day, pray to your God openly. And if you change the laws when it is in your advantage, you should also change the laws when it is to our advantage. You see how cunning the plan was. Daniel had no other option. But above all, he had the grace from his God to stand. And that's why he prayed three times a day, open windows. He went into his house and prayed. But then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. Oh, the enemy came. And behind those 120 princes, there was the huge enemy, the enemy of God. Those 120 princes, they were the seed of this enemy, the seed of this serpent. They were from the serpent's seed. And they always fight against the seed of the woman. And Daniel, he had a new heart. Oh, Daniel, he was from the seed of the woman. And there is enmity. Oh, since Genesis 3. Where the Lord said, and I will put enmity between thou, Satan, between thou, serpent, and thou, seed. And on the other side, this woman and her seed. Now, what seed are you? You can only be one of those two. There's no way in between. Oh, by nature, all of us, also church people, we belong to that serpent seed. Did you ever suffer from the world? Has the world become already your enemy? No. It's a sign you are still from that serpent seed. Are you still a friend of the world? Oh, you come to church. But in your heart, you like to do the things that you like. You like the sin. You like to live your life without being too much disturbance. James, he wrote, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" If you still like this world, their music, their feasts, their things to do, you are one of those enemies. You're an enemy of the living God. There's no way in between. Those enemies of Daniel, they came. They were enemies of the living God. They were enemies of the Anointed One. That's behind it, the serpent seed. In enmity with the seed of the woman. The seed with a capital S. The hate of these persons, the hate of these princes. Above all, was not in the first place to Daniel, oh it was. But above all, it was towards God's anointed, his son. Why? Oh, because the Son of God, he is a ruler. And we, by nature, do not like the way he rules. We can read it in Psalm 2. "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Oh, the biblical laws, the biblical way of living, it's like bands of us. We want to get rid of it. We want to be our own king. Or they want to get rid of the Anointed One because they would like to get the inheritance. Oh, sure, they would like to go to heaven. Sure, they would like to receive all these blessings, but without this king, without the rules. "Let us kill him and inherit the vineyard." That was what the evil man said. They didn't like the direction of the Anointed One. Because his direction of the Son of God is always to honor God, to honor his Father. That's not what the people by nature like to do. They don't like him. Satan is fighting against him. Because he was coming to bruise the head of Satan. And he will oppose sin. He will restore God's righteousness. The complete righteousness. And the light of the world, who God is, who Jesus is hated by the darkness. The darkness hates the light. Oh, this Jesus, he will come to find the lost, to renew the creation. And that's what Satan encounters. That's what he fights against. That's what those people fight against. They do not want to live in this new world. They do not want to be saved. They want to keep their own living in lies, in bending the rules to their own advantage. And that's what we all want to do, to continue the way we live. Is that your life? You are still an enemy of God, fighting against God. But Jesus has come. Oh, the Lord, he sent his Son, the Father, sent his Son to the world, and he came. And when Jesus came on earth, oh, he's more than Daniel. And he has been completely obedient. No sin was on him. He was the ruler of the world and still is. He does not do any sin. Oh no, innocency is found before him, with him, before God, with him. He came to pay all the debts of sin, to conquer death, to conquer hell and grave, to conquer Satan. And he came to make intercession for the transgressors. In all points, he was tempted. And therefore, he is a compassionate high priest. who kept up Daniel. Oh, this is behind the enmity of those princes. They were fighting because they belonged to the seed of the serpent that was fighting against Daniel. Daniel, the prince, the ruler of the kingdom of God. They fight him because they fight against Jesus that would come out of the seed of Israel to restore the world. That was the life of Christ, obedient. He conquered death and hell. But he also paid all the sins with his death. And now Daniel is following his master, Christ. And so he has to follow in his footsteps. And all the church is. So the church is really, really following the footsteps of Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, or when the paths are easy, that's okay. But following Jesus can also be difficult. None understood paths and steps we have to take. As we see here with Daniel. Oh, they hated me. They will also hate you. Because you are not of this world. That is the part that all followers of Jesus will get in this world, like Daniel. But Daniel, he was positioned by the Lord in this world, like sheep among the wolves. Why? Oh, he was put there to be a light, to shed his light. He was put there to be the salt of the world. And he became the hatred. He became hatred of the world. But Daniel, he could say, innocency is found before thou, King Darius. And if it's okay, if we live our lives properly, as we should do, we could say that also. Every Christian living a Christian life should be able to say, also before thee, O King, I have done no hurt. Is this the way you live? Following the footsteps of Christ, being obedient to him, or you will get enmity, the enmity of the world, because you does not belong to them. That was Daniel's part. The enemies were surrounding him and trying to get rid of him. Now in the second place, we do not look at enmity, we look at unease. Unease by King Darius. So those men, they found Daniel praying and doing supplications before his Lord. Though they took him, those princes and governors, and they came to the king, to King Darius. And they sued Daniel. O King Darius, there is one man who is of the children of the captivity of Judah. Oh, he's not even one of us. He's one of those Jews. He's one of those strange people with the strange habits. And he does not want to obey thee, O King. He's against the law that thou hast given. So they come to the king. Oh, they put Daniel on a bad position. They sued him. And they hoped the king got very angry. But the king did not. What do we read about King Darius? The king was sore displeased. Sore displeased. He was not angry on Daniel, he was sore displeased. Sore displeased. In the first place, it said in God's word, with himself. Sore displeased with himself. Oh, now his eyes went open. Now he understood why those men came to him with this petition. probably was very angry now on those princes. We can read it later on in the chapter. But here it says he was sore displeased with himself. Oh, stupid me. I wish I had not. He wanted to be as God. And that's why he signed the petition. And now, I wish I had not. Oh, that's always the fruit. If you want to be as God, if we are proud on ourselves, if we don't accept God as our ruler, there will be a moment where we say, oh, stupid me, I wish I had not. When will that moment be for you? Will that be when you are before his judgment seat? Oh, I wish I had not. I wish I had searched him all my life. I wish, but then it's too late. Oh, search him when you are young. Search him when it's still possible. Ask him to forgive the sins. Ask him to get back into favor with him. Now it's too late for Darius. Oh, Darius, he regretted. Because Daniel for him was of great value. And also, it doesn't say in the word literally, but we feel it. Darius liked Daniel. Oh, he was of great value and he liked him personally. But he fell in his own trap, in his own snare. How did he get in this trap? Because of his pride. Because of his haughtiness. And now his conscience talks. Your own fault. Your own fault, Darius. You should have been not so pride. His conscience constantly talking to him. He can even not sleep that night. Because of his conscience, continuously unrest. But Darius, what is he going to do? Oh, Darius, he's looking for a solution. And he set his heart on it. That means he tried everything. So this Darius, it was his own fault. But he tries to fix it. Tries everything to deliver Daniel. Do you also try everything? Sinned against God. Because you wanted to be as him. You wanted to be your own God. Now try to deliver yourself. Try to get it fixed. Darius, he was not able to. Oh, he was trying it until the evening. What kind of reasoning should he have? Oh, this law cannot be changed. So, I need to find a way. This law cannot be changed. So what, Darius? This law cannot be changed. So, what would Daniel have done? Well, actually, what did Daniel? The same law was valid for Daniel. What did Daniel do? Did he stop praying to his God? He could not. No, actually, Daniel, he did break this law of the king. Because we all to obey God rather than man. That was what Daniel followed. He obeyed God more than this law of the king. Well, Darius, why don't you do the same? Darius had a problem. He was afraid. He was afraid for what? Darius, why are you afraid for? You are so powerful. You are almost like a god. You can do everything you want. All right. Oh, this is the proof. He was not really powerful. He was just a man of flesh and blood. He was afraid for what? For his own honor. He was afraid for his job to be a king. He was afraid for his own life. And it's true. He was also afraid for Daniel. But what, Darius, should you do? And Darius, he was more afraid for himself than for Daniel, that was right and just. Oh, terrible for Daniel. But this is the point. Darius was unwilling to sacrifice himself. That was the whole point. Now there's a lesson for us, an important lesson for us. If your conscience talks, because you're at unease, because you have not obeyed the Lord, it is your own fault that your conscience is speaking. Maybe you're tossing, you're turning in bed because of what you have done, because of the damage you made, what will happen when you have been before the throne of God when you die. And maybe you try everything. Try to appease your conscience. You read the law, the word of God, and you see the promises. And rather than wrestling with the Lord and praying, you apply those promises. Oh, they are for me. And your conscience is silent. Or probably you want to fix it in another way. You live as neatly as you can. And you pray every morning, you pray every evening, and you feel very well about it. Or maybe you say, well, it's not my fault, it's Adam's fault. I cannot change myself. God has to do it. He has to change. And I cannot convert myself. And with that you put everything aside and continue your life. Is that how you want to get your conscience silent? Oh, then, when you die, it will be very terrible before that Lord. How can you survive before his countenance? Oh, you cannot. He's a consuming fire. What's the problem? Oh, you don't want to repent. You do not want to leave sin, unwilling to sacrifice my pleasures, unwilling to sacrifice what I want. We do not want to bow down. That's our problem. We do not want to humble ourselves, or we are unwilling to sacrifice my good works, saying that we are a lost sinner before the Lord, confessing that. We are unwilling to sacrifice my own righteousness, all the things I do. Yeah, we are not willing to sacrifice our lives before the honor and glory of God. We are not willing to fall on his feet and confess all our sins and say amen on his judgment. He is right. That's our problem. When our conscience talks, we try to do everything, but we don't want to sacrifice ourselves. Oh, Daniel, he did. And then what happened? Oh, we read it in verse 17 and 18. The king commanded. He could not do differently, he thought. And the righteous Daniel was cast into the den of the lions. That was what Darius did. Oh, Daniel, he was obedient to death. Darius was not. Oh, Daniel, there was no injustice. There was no crime. He was really innocent. He was continuous fearing the Lord. And that is written in Luke 9. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Did that really happen? What was Daniel's reward? Daniel's reward that he was serving the Lord. That he was innocent before the king, innocent before God. What was his reward? Judgment. His reward was death. And God allowed it. How is that possible? Is it really possible that God allows it? Yes, it is. And he was cast into the den. The den of lions. Well, what is the den? Let's a little describe it. The den of the lions. At the time it was a deep and steep pit. And on top of that pit a wall was built around it, a stone wall. So no one, no lion, but no man that was cast in the den could escape. And there was one gate in that wall that gave access to the den. And now Daniel, he was cast into the den, and before the gate a huge stone was put to shut the gate, so he could not escape. That's what we also read in verse 17. A stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. The stone was put before the gate and it was sealed, so no one could really save Daniel. He had to be with the lions. He was cast into the den and he could not get out of it. And the stone was sealed. All happened to the bigger glory of God. When we read this, maybe you have seen it as well. But have you seen the similarities that happened with the greater Daniel? More than Daniel is here. Jesus Christ. He went the same way. The church and the king of the church, they follow the same path. Oh, the greater Daniel. He was before a Pilate. Pilate, who also was in the same snare, the same trap of Satan. Also Pilate. He was unwilling, unable to sacrifice his job. Although he was convinced of the complete innocency of Jesus. But Pilate, he was unwilling to sacrifice himself. Oh Christ, he was innocent and still in judgment. His cup did not pass. Oh, he prayed for it, but it did not pass. That also happened. That possible? That God allows it? Yes, it was the will of his Father that he should empty that cup. Oh, this Jesus, this greater Daniel, he was hated by men. He was even carrying the curse of his Father, because he was bearing all the sins of his people. And therefore he was carrying the curse of God. Oh, if we compare this greater Daniel with Daniel, both were perfect rulers, but attacked by rebellious people. Both were faithful and obedient to death, Daniel and his master, the greater Daniel. There is also a difference. Where Daniel got saved, he was obedient to death, but he got saved. That Jesus, he had to die. He had to die. Why? Because to save Daniel. We will ponder on that in the third thought. But here we see the stone got sealed for Daniel, but also for the greater Daniel. For Daniel, Just because the saving grace of the Lord was very clear. No one could have helped Daniel because the gate was closed. The seal of the king was on it. Oh, it was to the honor of God that Daniel got saved. So it was with Christ. Oh, it proved. The first place is omnipotence. The omnipotence of Christ. He died. But he also resurrected. It also proves the good pleasure of his Father. The stone was sealed, but the grave could not hold him. Oh, more than Daniel is here, just to save this Daniel, just to save all of his church. And we will think about that in the third thought. But let's first sing from Psalter 88, and we sing all three stanzas. The Lord I will at all times bless, in praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast, the meek shall hear with joy. And what follows also in 2 and 3. 88, all stanzas. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? No answer. That was what he was expecting. Maybe this God helped Daniel. But then here, a clear and a loud answer. No, the Lord did not let Daniel down. But here is Daniel's answer. O king, live forever. No reproach, no rancor in his voice. O king, live forever. O Daniel, shoot the image of his master, who upbraideth not. No sinners are welcome to him. He does not reproach, no rancor. For why then don't you go to this greater Daniel to confess all your sins, all what you have done against him, who upbraideth not? O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, the angel of the Lord, that encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Well, Darius, when I was cast into the den, my God has sent his angel. Despite the den is deep, well, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. No, the den was deep, but Daniel was not hurt. Oh, despite the lions, Daniel was not hurt, because he has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Oh, a miracle is happening here. And kids in our midst, you may say, well, maybe they were not hungry, those lions. Well, I can tell you they were, as you can read at the end of the chapter. And be sure that the den with lions, the lions were kept hungry all the time. They were very hungry. But still, they did not touch Daniel. Oh, you see it, it's a miracle. And Daniel was there, not with hatred in his heart. He was not in unease, restless. No, he was in peace. O Darius, you were restless. You were at unease. But I laid me down and slept. I waked. For I was kept in his divine protection. The Lord was at my side. My succor he supplied. Whatever my affliction. How is that possible? Oh, the Lord shut the mouths of the lions. Why? To show a miracle. Does the Lord always do that with his people? Let's read what's written in Hebrew 11, verse 33. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions by faith. But it can also happen something else. Also, there can be no miracle, because we read in verse 36, and others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. God having providing some better thing for them. That's true. Oh, even if they were tortured to death, God provided some better thing for us. That's what's written in Hebrews. But here a miracle happens. The Lord gives a miracle. What does that mean? Why does the Lord give miracles? We touched this morning as well with a miracle. The Lord wants to help His people, that's true. But there's always a lesson in a miracle. Here the Lord shut the mouth of the lions. What then is the lesson? Well, listen to what Daniel said. The mouth of the lions was shut. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me. So the lesson here is that Daniel said, I was innocent. I did nothing evil to King Darius, to thou, O King Darius. That's why the Lord saved me. Well, actually, there's a deeper reason. Because it doesn't say, for as much as before Darius' innocence was found in me. That was true. But before him, before God, was found innocence in me. So Daniel, he said, more or less, because I was just for God, not just for you, Darius, I was just for God. How can he say that, Daniel? Is that possible? To be righteous before God? Because no one is without sin. Daniel, how can you say that? No sin? Oh, well, Daniel, he knew. He knew that he was a sinner. The Lord revealed that to him. He opened his eyes for that. Daniel learned that from above. How do we know that? Well, when you read Daniel 9, for instance, when he prayed before his God, he did confession about his sins. So Daniel, he knew he was a sinner. Daniel, how then can you say that you was innocent before God? Well, Daniel learned his sins. He was a sinner for God, but he learned also something else. You know what he learned? Well, look at his room. There were open windows toward Jerusalem. He had an open window toward where Jerusalem was, where the temple was, where the sacrifices were. Those sacrifices that were pointed to Jesus Christ. Oh, there at that place, the Lord revealed himself into Jesus. And Daniel had open windows toward that place. It was the faith of Daniel in the Lord Jesus that sacrificed himself. He was done no hurt. I read in verse 23. No hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. He believed. He was obedient to his God. Whatsoever should happen, he was obedient. He trusted in his God. And he followed his steps. It was because of his faith. Well, what is faith? Faith is the empty hand of a beggar. There's no earning in faith itself. But faith is receiving what Jesus Christ has acquired. Oh, how it's a necessity to have that living faith, to have that hand of a beggar. Because Daniel's own righteousness, now he did not have that. That was not enough. But by grace, he was receiving that righteous, the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Where you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you. I for you. I created. I earned this righteousness. Jesus said, for you, Daniel. And Daniel was receiving this with the beggar's hand. The empty beggar's hand. Oh, Daniel himself, he was a sinner. But Jesus Christ, he's complete innocent. No sins was with him. And still, he was condemned to death. On the cross, a curse, he was cursed. He was laid in the tomb. A stone before the tomb. And the stone was sealed. Oh, they did hurt him. His heel got bruised. He was crucified. Oh, a death full of sorrow, full of scorn, full of curse. But by that death, his heel was bruised, but he bruised Satan's head. And that's why the grave could not help him. That's why he resurrected. He broke the seal. Death could not keep him. Because innocency, complete innocency, was found before his God. That's why he came out of the grace to the justification of Daniel, to the justification of all his people. So the lion mouth, oh the devil, that roaring lion, his mouth has been shut to give his people the innocency that they do not have by themselves. But he gave it to them in a new life. He resurrected for the destruction of all of his enemies and all the enemies of his people. And that also came clear. But Daniel was innocent, not by himself, but by the open windows to Jerusalem, by his Savior that sacrificed himself. That's why Daniel was saved. And Daniel went out of the den. No matter of hurt was on him. But then what happened to the enemies? Oh, the king, he shall bring hither and slay them before me. Cast them into the den. And the lions had a mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Oh, you see how hungry those lions were. And they killed all the enemies. That was the end of the enemies of the church. The end of the enemies of Jesus Christ. If you are still an enemy, that will be your end. But what about Darius? Darius, he was a nice king, wasn't he? Well, Darius, he was exceeding glad. Why? Because his conscience now was silent. Why was his conscience silent? Did he receive grace? His conscience was silent. Because he had no consequences of his deed. What he had done that led to the death of Daniel. Well, that problem was fixed. And he could go back to bed and sleep well. His conscience was silent. Oh, he did something more. We read it in verse 25 to 27. There he has praised God. He said, he, that God of Daniel, he redeems and he saves. Oh, fear this God, he even said. The God of Daniel. Was it saving grace? No. Yes, he said, you have to fear God. The God of Daniel is God. But he did not say that all his other gods were no gods. Darius did not stop serving his other gods. The Lord for him was just one of these other gods. He did not stop with his sin. He did not confess. He did not repent. O Darius, he praised the Lord. But that was it. He was halting between two opinions. Maybe you're an enemy. Or maybe you are like Darius, halting on two positions. You like the world, the way you live. You do not want to sacrifice yourself. But on the other hand, you try to fix all these things. You come to church. Your conscience is silent. Oh, how terrible. You need the complete righteousness of Jesus Christ. And otherwise, you cannot be before God. Oh, repent. Do no longer hold on to opinions, but confess your sins and beg Jesus for his grace. And how was it with Daniel? Oh, he was obedient to death. He prospered. We read in verse 28. Well, he even lived and reigned till Cyrus the Persian. That was the time that the people of Israel returned to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was to rebuild. Oh, it is a sign in this last verse that Daniel not just had peace, but Daniel, he received the eternal peace. As we can also read in the last verse of Daniel. Oh, Daniel, he sacrificed his life, obedient to death, and by grace, the grace and the works of the Lord Jesus, he received the eternal peace. Oh, don't you want to receive this grace? Pray the Lord, if he would change your heart, give you a new heart, that you may have a look, a view on that sacrifice of Christ, and also with the beggar's hand receive all of his grace and all of his works. Ask him, and don't stop to ask, but beg him. He will be gracious, and he will listen, for he is the complete Savior. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, thou hast saved Daniel, not because he was without sin, but because he was obedient and trusted thee. O, we pray thee, would thou also give us a heart like Daniel, would thou renew our heart, that the Holy Spirit may plant that complete faith in our hearts to receive all the earnings, all the merits of the greater Daniel, Jesus Christ. He went into the grave, sacrificed himself, for he was innocent, to pay the debts for sinful people. O Lord, wash our sins, cleanse us. In that blood of Jesus Christ, we pray thee, take also away all the sins of this hour. And would thou bless thy own word in our hearts. We pray thee in Jesus' name alone. Amen.